Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. If you happen to be a great admirer of Crater Lake National Park, as I think most of us are, you know you've got an early Albany newspaper man to thank for that. His name was William Gladstone Steele. He was the founder of the Albany Herald, and he fought for nearly 20 years to get this iconic lake set aside as a public park. He founded the famous Mazama Club, too, as part of that battle. This story was first published on March 22nd of 2009. Here we go. In Oregon, there's one place where you're allowed to fish for free, and you've got a former Albany newspaper owner to thank for that. It's in Oregon's famous Crater Lake, where you can wet a line without paying the man, yet very few people ever do because the lake is one of the largest bodies of water in the state. Not in terms of surface area, of course, but it's so deep that it holds an enormous amount, and the fish colony just isn't big. It's free because the fish aren't actually supposed to be there. Crater Lake never had fish in it before, and that's part of why its water is so clear and brilliantly blue. So how did the fish get in there? Well, that gets back to the newspaper man. His friends called him Will Steele, but when he founded the Albany Herald in 1880, his name was listed on the masthead as William Gladstone Steele. Albany's other paper was the Democrat, which at that time was more than just a name. Steele was firmly Republican. And the Democrat, if the name wasn't enough of a hint, was actually one of the newspapers that was shut down during the Civil War by President Lincoln. Steele was one of the most important figures in Oregon history. After being fired from his post office job in Portland for being a Republican, Americans had just elected Grover Cleveland to the White House and the Dems were cleaning house, he went out to explore the state. One of his first priorities was to find the jewel-like lake he'd heard about as a boy, which none of the locals seemed to know existed. When he did find it, he raced to Washington, D.C. and somehow convinced the president who had canned him shortly before to block settlement in the area until he could survey it. Then he returned to Portland, hired a survey crew, and had three boats built and hauled to the lake where he floated out on the water to take soundings. This in 1886. Steele found that he hadn't brought enough rope. He suggested that the lake might in fact be bottomless. Finally, with more line, the crew found the deepest part, just shy of 2,000 feet. After getting Steele's report, Congress introduced a bill to preserve the lake and 36 square miles of the surrounding terrain as a national park, and the fight was on. There were a lot of trees on those 36 square miles, and several companies wanted to turn those trees into money. Steele fought tirelessly for his park, realizing that outdoorsmen, yes, men, remember this was the 1880s, could help his cause. Steele decided to stock the lake with trout, so he offered some kids in Rogue River a dime for every minnow they caught. They brought him 600. A very worried and out-of-pocket Steele asked them what they wanted for the lot. They requested 4 bits, and relieved, Steele gave them each a buck and took the minnows 45 miles to the lake. At each stream, he stopped to freshen the water, but most of them were dead by the time he got to the lake. Still, 37 of the original 600, the toughest ones, presumably, survived to cause the present-day problem there. Steele also, during that time, founded the Oregon Alpine Club, a diverse outfit composed of campers and outdoors people of all sorts, possibly with the same idea in mind. More appreciators of nature meant more support for his lake. A few years later, he organized the state's famous Mazama Club, open only to people who had summited Mount Hood. Finally, after a 17-year fight with the timber and grazing interests in Congress, ably represented by Oregon Senator John Mitchell Hipple, serving under his AKA of John Hiram Mitchell, Steele saw his dream realized. In 1902, Congress officially made Crater Lake the nation's 5th national park. Sources for this story include works by Rick Harmon, William Sullivan, and Bill Gulick. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon history for the fun of it, and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising, and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy Offbeat Oregon history and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.